This is the Ladbrokes Racing Channel. Keep up to date with all the latest racing news and previews at news.ladbrokes.com. And for all the latest odds, head to ladbrokes.com. Online, on mobile, and also on tablet.
Hello and welcome to this Aintree Day 1 preview. My name's William Geldart, joined in the studio once again by Ben Stones and Matt Mower to take a look over the card. We're going to be looking at four of the day's races, starting with the 2:15, the anniversary 4-year-old juvenile hurdle, grade 1 contest over 2-mile 1. Ben, I suppose we should start with you, because Hagen was your best bet of the meeting, as we discussed in our preview for the Grand National meeting. The money's piling in. For this Triumph Hurdle third, he's ahead of the re-opposing Devilment in that contest, and a strong contender in the hands of AP McCoy. Strong finish to land the Scottish Triumph Hurdle at Musselburgh on goodish ground as well, and little to pick holes in at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. I think this horse is I wouldn't use the term banker because I hate saying it, but I see little that can trouble this horse. You know, all the talk before Cheltenham was, you know, the hill wouldn't suit him. Then the rain came and that went against him, and he still ran an absolute blinder behind Peace & Co. and Top Notch at Cheltenham. So I think return to a flatter track with decent ground will be all in his favour, and he's only going to improve from that. He's got at least £10 in hand on all but one in this field. He was ahead of Devilment and Stars Over the Sea in the Triumph, and the rest of the field, I'll say the majority of the rest of the field are just horses that, you know, weren't good enough to win a Fred Winter. So I think I just think he'll have the quality to see them all off. Bristol Demise, not a horse I particularly rate. Well, I say not rate, but I can't see him beating Hagen, although I'm sure one of you two might tell me otherwise.
Yeah, I'll just touch on Bristol Demise. A phrase you often use, Ben, an each way bet to nothing. Do you see that in this case? Or do you think it's a little risky now? Two losses as a beaten favourite. Finished in front of another re-opposing rival, Intense Tango, on that last run at Kelso. A few interesting form lines. Obviously, Bristol Demise beat Golden Doyen in a Grade 1 juvenile hurdle at Chepstow at Christmas. Golden Doyen had beaten Hagen previously, although not all of that form has worked out since, so tricky to unpick. I do agree there are a few question marks over this horse, but I think in your parlance, yes, maybe an each way bet to nothing. I'll wait to be proven wrong. Matt, where are you looking in terms of this one? Just towards Hagen as well?
Yeah, I really haven't got much to add to what you guys have said already, but this does look like a spot kick for Hagen to me. I thought that was seriously impressive third behind what could turn out to be two really nice horses in Top Notch and Peace & Co. The Triumph form has worked out really nicely in this race as well. I think Guitar Pete and Grimetti both finished third in the Triumph and went on to win here, so you know that he's got that in his favour as well. Again, I don't think any of the Fred Winter runners are good enough. Bristol Demise, like you say, Will, is probably the one who's the most interesting apart from the favourite. He beat Karazak very nicely at Chepstow in a future champions finale, but since, as you say, he's been beaten favourite twice, last time out finishing behind Gingerburn at Kelso, who could turn out to be a nice horse, but we don't know yet. So, yeah, Hagen for me, lump on.
All right, well, we'll move on then to the 2:50, the Betfred Bowl over 3-mile 1. Touched upon this, obviously, in our other preview, but let's go through some of the main protagonists again. Silvagnaco Conti bidding for back-to-back renewal victories and to bounce back from Gold Cup disappointment. Hollywell, Matt, you mentioned before you were impressed by his Gold Cup fourth, having initially had reservations. Obviously, brilliant winner over course and distance last year. The impressive, I don't think you can call him an upstart anymore, he is the progressive type. And is he going to be featuring prominently in your thinking for this race?
Yeah, definitely. As you say, I've never been a massive fan, but I think that was a very, very good run at Cheltenham. And the ground was too soft as well. I know his form, he hasn't got that much form on good ground, but I do think he'll really enjoy it if it's a bit better at Aintree. He loves the spring, obviously hacked up in the Mile May here last year, 10 lengths ahead of Don Cossack, which is turning out to look like a very good form. I think he's turned out to be a very good horse, and I think he could push Silvagnaco all the way here.
Okay, and in terms of others who could potentially press Conti as well. Matthew, last year's top and winner, second in the Ryanair, and one of two threats, do you think, to Sylvain Jaco, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, Mafia obviously goes well here. She was a really nice winner at the Topham last year, but as I mentioned in the preview yesterday, I'd be worried about her over this staying trip with Hollywell and Sylvain Jaco there. Yesterday, I was probably more swaying towards Sylvain Jaco Conti at the prices, but there's been a bit of movement for that one, and I'm now perhaps changing tact and looking at Hollywell. I mean, Sylvain Jaco, he did bounce back from a fairly average run in the Gold Cup last year to win this race quite well. But I've had another look at that form, and, you know, he beat Dinast. Dinast is a horse that connections are tried and tried and tried at 3 miles, and he's never quite cut it. So I don't know how strong that form is. Back in that race, you had Argo Cat. I think he was in fourth, and, you know, that's not a grade one horse. I'm sorry, but... I mean, looking at Hollywell, he was 17 lengths ahead of Sylvain Jaco Conti in the Gold Cup. And as Matt said, I think on the better ground, that will go for Hollywell more than it will go for Sylvain Jaco Conti. So I'm changing tact, and I think I'm in agreement with Matt. It'll probably be Hollywell for me.
I will say that I think we're maybe being a little bit harsh on Sylvain Jaco Conti here. I know his run at Cheltenham was a lot... It's not as if he didn't get up the hill. I think that's what's putting a lot of people off. All the talk was like, he's a class horse in the race, he's going to come there round the turn looking like the winner and just not get up the hill, but it wasn't. So, I mean, you've got to almost forgive him that run, like, in a big way, rather than the fact that, you know, round a flat track like Aintree, he's a monster. We've seen him at Kempton winning 2 King George, like, beating very, very good horses. But I think it was the nature of that run in the Gold Cup which is putting me off a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's a theme that may run through a few races when it comes to horses who maybe didn't perform at Cheltenham and those who are perhaps suited to a track like Aintree. I'm going to beat the drum again for Menorah. I know he's come off second best to Sylvain Jaco on a number of occasions, but did get the better of him on good ground at Weatherby, as I mentioned before, in the Charlie Hall. I know you're both not convinced by that. But a quick word on the others in this race then from both of you. At Menorah, Smad Place, Vukovar, Matt, you mentioned before, and Ballynagour.
Yeah, I just think Vukovar is quite interesting. What's going on around the horse, to be honest. He's 6 years old, so obviously still quite unexposed. He's been running at very much shorter distances than this, and he was with Harry Fry earlier in the season, who ruled him out for the season. All of a sudden, he's with Warren Greatrex, who's having a belter of a season, and he's back running over 3 miles. So it just looks like it could be interesting and a big price.
Yeah, the only thing one down point, I suppose, on each way bets is the fact we've got the 7 runners here. So I think you're going to need 2 of Hollywell, Sylvain Jaco, Conti, and Mafiel to run probably below par to be getting that place. So that's the only downside to these each way bets. We were saying Menorah won the Charlie Hall at the start of the season. It's not one to crab the form particularly, but I suppose Sylvain Jaco probably needed that comeback run. Nichols was saying that all of his horses were needing their first run out this season. But he's a good horse in his own right. I suppose if a couple of the others at the top of the market do run below form, he could be bang there, but he wouldn't be one for me.
Well, to be fair, you were a lot nicer about him today than you were yesterday, so... Maybe a bit of props for Menorah there. Let's move on then. The 3:25, the Aintree hurdle over 2 mile 4. Fascinating contest, this one. Looking at market leader Arctic Fire, Champion Hurdle second, obviously we mentioned before. Ran out of his skin at Cheltenham to mark that progression. But can he beat Rock on Ruby over this kind of distance?
Well, I know Willie Mullins has been very complimentary of him. He said that he didn't look like he'd get a yard over 2 miles before, but all of a sudden he just kept putting on muscle after muscle after muscle, and now he looks like a really, really like Champion Hurdle class horse. For me, I'm still not sure, like the way he shapes in his races, he looks like he's sort of like got a good turn of foot at the end of 2 miles, and I'm not sure that he'll get 2 mile 4. Rock on Ruby, obviously at the age now where these big staying trips will suit. Whether he's right after his setback, like which made him miss Cheltenham, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably in a different camp with Artifar. I think he stayed on well at Cheltenham. I thought he was obviously wasn't going to get to 14. That bird already flown, but I think he shaped up like the step up might bring out even more. He's been an ultimate progressive type this year. He's just got better and better with every run. And looking back through his form, some of his best runs have come on a sounder surface, which he will encounter here at Aintree. I think he'll confirm the placings with Jezky. I know Matt will disagree, but even for that mistake at the last that Jezky put in, I don't think he was getting... I think Arctic Fire was pulling away from him then, and with the added distance, I can see it being a bigger gap between the two. Rock on Ruby, it'll be a very popular winner, I think. These conditions will suit him. They're bang on 2.5 miles on good ground. They're just what connections will want for this horse. He just failed to nab the new one last year. I think there's a head or a neck between the pairing. So that form, you know, obviously the new one's not gone on from there particularly, but I don't think you can crab it. We can't forget Rock on Ruby had Cole Hardham behind him on New Year's Day at Cheltenham. Obviously that was probably an inadequate trip for a Cole Hardham, but that form looks good now. And as Matt says, I think as long as we can take that he's over the ailment that kept him out of Cheltenham, I think he'll be bang there.
Okay, a lot of support for Rock on Ruby. And something I was going to touch on, which you've already referenced, Ben Jezky, something to prove and a reputation to restore. Again, similar to Sylvain Yarko, worthy of another chance? I think you pretty much confirmed your opinion on that one, so maybe I'll turn to Matt.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people were forgetting. I know that they're saying the champion hurdle he won wasn't the highest quality. But before that race, everyone was talking. I think if one of the protagonists had won it, like the new one or My Tent or Yours, they would have said that he's won a very good champion hurdle there. Everyone before the race was going, this is seriously competitive, a seriously good race. So I think people may be a bit harsh on him. I think this time round, he didn't run his own race. He was obviously concerned with Fahim, which is fair enough. He raced very keenly. And I think a step up to 2.4 will suit him. I think he looks like a proper stayer. He's got form over 2.4 in Ireland, where he beat all like the top staying hurdlers over the other side of the Irish Sea. I think Zyde Paul was in second. Dedi Gao was in that race. So, you know, that was a couple of years ago as well, when he probably wasn't as big as strong as he is now. So, yeah, I think he could like really enjoy this step up in trip.
Okay. Look forward to it. Let's just briefly touch on the others then. The Blue Heron, Vanateur, Volno de Thai, and Melodic Rendezvous. Any love for either of these? No, there's silent.
No, I think there's a similar story to the last race. We've got 7 runners, so each way betting becomes horrible, really. You're going to need 2 of the top 3 to disappoint. Vanateur was a horse that shaped up at the start of the season. Like, you know, he was going to be Nicky Henderson's champion hurdle representative, and he really disappointed at Cheltenham. Whether that was his form or whether he underperformed, we don't know, but he's going to need to really step up to deliver here. And Melodic Rendezvous has been another disappointing horse who started off really encouragingly over hurdles, but it's just not really gone on from there. I see it being between the top 3 to fill the first couple of placings.
All right, well, let's round off then with a 4.05, the Fox Hunters Chase over the National Fences, 2.5 miles and a bit. Looking at the top of the market on the fringe, Fox Hunters winner at the festival, pretty prolific in these kind of contests. But at the prices, I think around 4-1, worth taking on?
Yeah, definitely for me. There's a horse I like who he loves these fences. He's been around Aintree 7 times. That's big fella, thanks. He loves these fences. He's completed on 6 of those occasions, so he jumps them well. He's been placed twice, once in the Grand National. And I think that when you look at on the fringe, a lot of his form is over 3 miles, 3.2 miles, 3.4 miles. Obviously, we drop back to 2.5 miles here for this race. So I think a horse like Big Fella Fanks, although he has competed in the National and those real stamina stepping tests, he's dropped back in trip this season. He won a Hunter Chase at Wincanton over 2.5 miles most recently. He was runner-up over 2.5 miles on Cheltenham Festival Trials Day and a decent handicap. He's jumped really well recently. And I just think that 7-1, he's the horse for me. There's one I quite like at a big price, perhaps each way, his horse Chosen Milan. Now, he was 5th in the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham. But he's another one that will suit the drop back in trip. As will the better ground they will face here. So I think at the 33-1 mark, he's a horse that finished second behind Theatre Queen, who's a decent horse on good ground at Stratford. So I think at 33-1, that could be an each-way play if you're wanting something at a big price.
Matt, in terms of Fox Hunters, where are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be tempted to take on the fringe as well. Like, he's had his day in the sun at Cheltenham. I'd be tempted to look for one that looks absolutely primed for this race. One of those is Warn, with Sam Whaley-Cohen on board. He won this race last year, I believe, and he looks like he's all set up to have another proper go at it. But I'm with Ben on this one again. Big fella thanks. He looks like this has been his target all along. Tom George is absolutely ranting and raving about his chances in this. Got that win under his belt at Wincanton, and obviously all the experience over the fences, he looks like he's nailed on for a place here for me.
Okay. Just to add my own thoughts, I'm going to give you an each-way bet, which should have a few pennies on, literally. Quinns, it's a horse I've backed before. Second to Paint the Clouds last time out in a Hunter's Chase. Paint the Clouds will be third behind on the fringe in the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham. Might be a little pacey for him, but that's going to be my big each-way bet. Well, small each-way bet of the day. All right, I think that just about wraps it up then. Thanks very much, gentlemen, for joining me. Don't forget, log on to news.ladbrokes.com for latest betting previews and tips. And of course, head to ladbrokes.com online on mobile and on tablet for all the latest odds. Good luck for your bets on the first day of Aintree, and we'll catch you again next time.